What I feel?
Yeah.
I do feel that Johanna is not being upfront 100%
there
with
you go.
What she knows about Noni's disappearance.
Wasn't she ever a suspect in any of this?
According to them, no. But there was a different detective that was assigned to the case, and since then, now there's a new detective, and I feel with this new detective, bless his heart, I think he's moving things a lot quicker and trying to get things done. And I think that the ball was dropped at the very beginning. It took more than 3 weeks to even get him on the local TV, a media release. It took 3 weeks for a media release to let the public know that he was actually missing, because media had to rely on the Las Vegas Metro Police to release it in order for them to be able to put the flyer on the station. And the detective assigned at the time, not the same person now, would not release it. It wasn't until June 5th when the vehicle was found when they decided to release, do the media release. Three weeks.
Yeah, he goes missing May 14th. The car is found June the 5th, and that's when they had the media release. But I don't understand, what is the law in Las Vegas? Why did Metro waited, you know, almost a whole month to say this man is missing? And if you have any legal action that you can take, you know, and file a lawsuit, because I find that is really irreprehensible, that I am sure if a police officer's child, mother, relative goes missing, they are not going to wait 3 weeks before they give the go-ahead to the media to say something about their loved one. And that angers me. I don't understand why they had to wait. Who said they couldn't call? Who said that they couldn't give out the okay to have the release on television? Who's the person responsible for not putting this out?
You want a name?
Yeah.
Oh, Detective Merges. Yeah, he's no longer with the case. He was transferred to Violent Crimes Unit.
Yeah, he's going to solve those. Yeah, I see that. Did you say Detective Merges?
Detective Bill Merges.
Okay, somebody needs to investigate some of these cases that he has been assigned to. And what has he been doing with these cases? I can't believe that this is the only one that he dropped the ball on. And I wonder if it's because it was a Latino. Not to throw the race card, but a lot of times I see people treating Hispanics and minorities in a different way that they would treat somebody else. Because of a name. It could be the name. It could be Herrera. Maybe it wasn't Johnson. It wasn't Blake. Or it wasn't, you know, it wasn't
Thank
good enough.
Thank you for bringing the race card up.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up because I get sick of people who do bring it up. But I have a very strong feeling, because I don't look at race. I look at everybody as a human being. I see eyes looking at me different when somebody looks at my license. And on my license, it has a Spanish name. And I also see people looking at me differently the moment that I open my mouth and I have an accent. According to some people, I have an accent. Other people don't hear it. But some people ask me, where am I from? And they look at me like I'm from Mars. And I should start saying I'm from Mars, because they look at me like I'm from Mars. I'm going to start saying my name is Marta and I'm from Mars. Didn't you know? I have an accent. It's Martian. So I have a feeling,
oh,
I'm sorry,
Lord.
I don't mean to crack a joke on this one, but,
no,
you know,
no.
It doesn't make any sense. Honestly, people, listen to this. It doesn't make any sense. Imagine that it was a little boy, Jose Gonzalez, Jose Rodriguez, whatever it is, and there's a detective, and he's not going to put an AP, well, I don't know what it is, APB, I'm not sure what. He's not going to say anything. The media release. And your child gets killed, murdered, because this guy, it's hours from the moment that a person goes missing. We know that it's hours that you know, you have to get out there and get a manhunt looking. When was the first time that the police organized a manhunt for your brother, and where did they go?
On June 5th, when the vehicle was found, My sisters and I were in Noni and Johanna's neighborhood handing out flyers. And what happened was that the Metro Police contacted Johanna to let her know the vehicle was found. They needed her to bring the keys because the vehicle was found locked. So she needed to bring the spare key. Johanna sends a mass text on her BlackBerry to all of her social circle people, and someone had a good heart and contacted Rita and told Rita that she was sorry about the vehicle being found. And Rita said, what are you talking about? We're in the middle of passing out flyers. And she told Rita, Rita dropped the phone and fell on the ground. And
oh,
everyone went
I don't
ran
understand
over to Rita.
Why they Well, I don't understand why they need a key from Johanna, because police can open up vehicles, and this is a crime. This is if this is evidence now, I don't know why would police ask, you know, permission, if you may, to open up the vehicle. It's like somebody else. Why not just have that car impounded and process, and I mean really process. The guy's been missing for 3 weeks. Hello? There could have been a crime. There could be blood in there. It could have been cleaned out. Did they do anything like that? Do you know what they did to the vehicle?
Well, by the time that I got Rita squared away and I just didn't have time to, I asked the friends that were helping us pass out flyers, I left. I jumped in my car and I drove to Mount Charleston. And let me tell you, I've never had a traffic ticket and I speed it all the way over there. Got there and the evidently forensics people had already left and Detective Burgess was still. Yeah, it took me about 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Now, but let me just back up. From what I was told, that they had been there since early in the morning. So they had been there probably a few hours by the time I got there. I got there, and Detective Merges was finishing up with the photos, and Johanna and Johanna's brother were following him around with hands all over the vehicle, and Johanna's friend was sitting on the back of hatch of the vehicle because it's an SUV.
And the police is there looking at them, mishandling and touching everything, and they didn't say anything?
Well, from what I understand, the forensics people had already done what they needed to do. So I'm waiting for them to finish up with what they're doing to ask questions. I did walk over to the very first sergeant that I saw, and I introduced myself and told him who I was, and he told me to stay put, and I stayed there. And then the other detective walks over. He says, just to let you know. In the meantime, Johanna's in the background yelling, what am I doing there, meaning me. And the detective told her to shut her mouth, and then he walked over to me. He told me that he was going to go ahead and release the car to her and gave her friend the key. Friend jumped in the car, and she drove off.
I'm not forensics, but I would have taken that car apart, and just try to figure out what's going on, because you can't tell me if they didn't take – They needed to take the cushions. They needed to take everything apart and try to figure out what's going on. And to have people around it, like it's a party. Why didn't they just bring out a keg of beer, too? Because it sounds like people are sitting in the back seat and turn on the music. I mean, my God, a guy goes missing for 3 weeks. They find the vehicle and everybody's having a good old time, including the detectives. We're going to release the car. This is ridiculous. I mean, the people down there in Las Vegas, they really need to step up to the plate and do something right for once. I mean, I this is disgusting. Coming from, so I have no idea what they're doing out there. This is the reason why I find that so many people don't have respect for law enforcement. If law enforcement themselves don't act the way they should, how can they expect people to respect them?
Nowadays, everybody has a price. Very few people have the integrity of character and the wisdom, if you will, to act correctly. Very few people do nowadays, those that are in politics or those that are in government or those that are officials or elected officials or civil or however, even in the courts. What is happening is ridiculous.
You're right.
Okay?
I think I have to agree
with
you on that, Dana. And also, Reyna, if you have money, it seems like you could get things done faster than when you don't, too.
Oh, absolutely. Money talks. Now, let me ask you ladies this. Joanne's brother, what does he do for a living?
Johanna? Brother is a realtor.
So he is also independently wealthy, I'm presuming.
Yeah, but I think he was unemployed at the time. This is Marty speaking, because I have my daughter, Alicia, kept in contact with him. But at the time, I think that he was having a lot of problems with the realty here. It's really, really falling apart because of the academy. So, also, I also wanted to let you know that the car that was that didn't get impounded, that they drove off, her brother had taken it to Reno right after Tony's disappearance.
He took it to Reno, so it's out of sight.
I'm kind of trying to go in chronological order, and I was going to get to that, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was out of sight because of the fact that after Noni's disappearance, since he could not find any jobs here in the realty market, he decided to pack up his whole house and move to Reno while we're going through this tragedy with Noni disappearing.
Let me kind of back up on that, Reina.
Go ahead, Marty.
On June 12th, June 5th, Metro did the search, which was the same day the vehicle was found. They had the cadaver dogs out there when I arrived at the mountains. And then the following weekend would have been June 12th, which happens to be the boy's second birthday. The Nevada Center for Missing Loved Ones, which is a nonprofit organization, which Frank Mahoney heads up, they coordinated a search with volunteer people. And no one told my sisters and I about the search. We happened to find out in a newspaper article that was done in the Las Vegas View newspaper. And so when we found out about it late evening before, Rita posted on Facebook, and we got a group of people to come out, and we drove out there the next morning. Rita lives the closest to Mount Charleston, so she got there before us, and Rita was asked by one of Johanna's friends, who identified herself as the spokesperson for the family. She told Rita that Rita was not welcome there and she needed to leave.
And this was accepted?
Well, Rita lost her cool as far as verbally and told her some words that I'm not going to repeat on the air.
Oh, you don't have to. I have a good imagination.
Well,
go ahead.
It's a good imagination coming from a Puerto Rican translating it into
English. Exactly.
And
I got the same message.
Right. And so then Frank Mahoney walked up and he said, "I cannot allow you girls to go off the paved area because you are next to kin," which we understood how that works. And we decided to just kind of drive around, look around, and pass out flyers during that time. Now, one thing that I didn't mention earlier was Noni's vehicle was found less than 1 mile from one of Johanna's good friends and clients' cabins.
Okay. Has anybody gone in there to investigate?
Well, I don't know because Metro will not give us information on what they've done so far, what they haven't done. We don't know.
Is there a way to subpoena the police department to find out what the heck they've done?
If I could afford an attorney, I would do that. I filed a missing persons police report, but because he has a wife, they bumped my name down. I'm looking at the piece of paper in front of me right now, the victim's information guide with an original event number. They removed my name off there and they added Johanna. So when I went down there to pick up my copy, they told me I was not allowed to receive a copy because only the wife or the detective could receive a copy. The gentleman was nice enough and even called the detective on the phone. The detective said, "Just tell her that anything she needs to know, I could tell her."
It's too bad that they don't have Nelson Andrew. He's captain of the police department down in Miami. Nelson Andrew, known by Miami cops as the Dean of Homicide. But even Nelson Andrews says, you know, he knows a lot of them drop the ball and
they don't do
the right thing. And when they don't do the right thing, he says you got to keep on going up the chain of command. And some people are going to roll heads and maybe they need to roll out of town and get a different job because they're not doing the right thing. It is unbelievable that they would not give you a copy of the police report. They would blot out your name as if they are the ones who make the law. And, we need to find out another thing. Who blotted out your name? Who was that person that removed your name from the police report? And is that lawful?
I didn't physically write anything by hand. The police officer that came to
to Noni's home when Rita and I were outside, took the information and wrote our statements down. He wrote stuff down. And then he gave me
the
victim's information.
Yeah, that's the way they usually do it. But who blotted out your name? Because I have a feeling that if Johanna wanted to file another police report, there should have been two of them. There should have been yours. That's a valid police report. You reported him, and then she reported him. So just because she reports him missing after yours doesn't mean that we are going to throw yours in the garbage now and take whatever she says, especially when she hasn't been forward with the information about her husband, has not given you the correct information about what is going on, why is he in a facility for mental health, and exactly what took place in that home about a month prior to him missing.
About 15 days. Either a month and a half or 15 days. It's what I'm getting.
Right.
Now, there's one thing that I need to find out from you ladies. Marta, if I remember in our conversation, I don't remember exactly if it was a conversation or something you sent me, but this has been working on me, and I need to find out more about it. She left the home when Noni was in the hospital? No? Okay. Go ahead. How did that happen?
The evening that that the police came, when she said, remember, she called me and she said the cops are there, and Noni had to be up to date. The next day, which would probably have been the 13th of May, which it happens to be their anniversary. But I'm going to back up because the reason that all this stuff took place and the argument took place was because Noni had just picked her up from the airport, and they went out to dinner, and Noni told me that the attitude she had was if she didn't want him, she wasn't happy to see him. And so that he got up and said he didn't want to finish his dinner, walked away, and then they argued all the way home, okay? So then the next day is their anniversary, and I don't know what happened on that day. I was at work, and supposedly what Noni told me, because Noni went looking for me. Let me back up. Something happened to Noni's cell phone, and to this day, and I was telling my son, I wish that I would have paid a little bit more attention when he was explaining to me what happened to his phone, because he went to my job looking for me. He drove there, and I wasn't there. So he drove back home, and when my employer was able to reach me, they said there was a gentleman here who identified himself as your brother looking for you, and when they gave me his description, I realized it was him. So I called the cell phone. He's not answering. Then I called the home, and he answers the phone, and I said, Noni, what's going on? Where's your cell phone? How come you're not answering? And he told me something about his phone, but for the life of me, I didn't pay close attention. I don't know what happened to his phone. Later on, we find out that Johanna stated that the SIM card was removed from the phone, and then Noni took it with him.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. By the way, Marta is going to do it, and I'm going to find out. Because there has got to be an attorney out there who's listening that can help.
Okay,
and I'm sure there
will. We have a caller, 702. You're on the air with Cubana Rama and the sisters of Noni Herrera.
Hi, I'm the third sister and the youngest. My name is Rita Williams.
Hello, Rita.
How are you?
I am good, thank you. I'm loving what you're saying, Madi, and I appreciate all the they're getting from these wonderful ladies. Thank you so much. I do want to correct on something. It wasn't a mental health facility. She actually took him to a treatment center for if he had a mental illness, why take him to a treatment center? They cannot do anything for the mentally ill. The mental health facility was actually not that far away from the treatment center. So that
sweetheart,
is something that,
does anybody know for sure that this is what she did? What date was this?
What date did he go into the treatment center? April 20th. And I
when
remember
did he
that
come out?
My birthday.
When did he come out?
April 29th.
Did any of you see him after he got out?
No, but we spoke with him. We all met together, and we were discussing the situation. We all went to the buffet. It was the Main Street Station buffet at the casino here in Vegas. And we spoke and we were talking about it.
She's asking if anybody's seen him after he got out. And the answer is yes. Margie, la más grande.
de la familia. Yo lo, I seen him. He came to my house with Johanna. And he
okay.
spoke to my... He,
and
he
how did you see
house.
Him?
He was wonderful. And I asked him what happened. And he had said, Johanna was in the living room with me, and so was him. And my husband came into the living room, and he spoke to me, and he told me that he just wanted to make sure that he's okay because Johanna wanted him to get some treatment because she thinks that, you know, that he's always having, like, you know, she gets him to, let's put it this way, she drives him to that line that he loses his temper. So it wasn't about having a mental problem or drug problem because he didn't have a drug problem. All he did was smoke weed. But he was in there to please her for the children and the family.
If I had a spouse that's constantly telling me everything I do is wrong, I probably would be losing
it. I would lose it, too. I would definitely lose it.
Oh, if you're in the middle of the mall, the fashion show mall, and your spouse spits in your face in front of everybody, you lose your temper, too.
On that note, there's something in Las Vegas, Nevada called the Legal 2000 that you can do with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. All you need to do is call and you say, you know what, we need a Legal 2000 on this person. But instead, she claims that she left. Instead, she left a man that was supposedly insane by himself. That's not, you know, this is my thing. And this is me, this is Rita Doctrine, okay? I'm going to say this. My husband, which I love dearly, if that man was having a mental illness, the last thing that I would do is leave him alone.
Exactly.
The last thing I would do, I would call his sisters, I would call anybody and say, hey, guess mm-hmm. what, I'm leaving right now, please come and take care of your brother. Anything. Not one of us was called until after the fact, way after, when Noni was missing, and then she started calling everybody and texting everybody and all these things, saying that he's insane, this and that, and you know, it was just really, really extreme. My question to her, my only question to her was, why didn't you call me? Why are you calling me days or texting me days later and calling me days later? Why?
So here we have Heriberto Noni Herrera. His sisters are helping Johanna, bending over backwards with the twins. And we know how difficult it is for a mother who just had a baby. So we'll put ourselves in Johanna's place. She's got to be, you know, this has got to be hard on her too, right? Because she just had these babies. After all, they're about a year old. She's got twins, and she's got all of the weight of the world on her shoulders. She's taking care of the family. She's feeding, you know, putting the food on the table. She's traveling all the time. But she has help. She has her beloved husband taking care of not only the twins, but her elderly father. She has Mari. She has Mari's husband. So I don't understand the reason why this woman didn't just hire a few extra hands and try to call the family in and have an intervention. Have an intervention and say, this is the problem. Noni is doing this or saying that, and I want all of you to help them. Because after all, don't you want to make things better for your family? These two little babies deserve to have a good a father in good mental state taking care of them, not somebody
on that
who's
note,
a child all the time.
And may I
yes.
add, I actually texted her, and I'm the kind of loudmouth of the family. This is Rita. When she started texting and calling, I said to her, Johanna, instead of going back and forth, let's get the entire family together, including your family, your mom, you know, your brother. Let's get everybody together in one room and let's discuss this. Let's discuss what's going on. She would not get us all in one room. Till this day, I have requested that many a time from her. I haven't talked to her in months and months and months, but I have requested that so many times in the past from her. Let's get everybody in one room and discuss this. Because I knew in the back of my mind she was texting me one thing and she was texting my sister another thing and my other sister another thing. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe she's upset, but I gave her the benefit of the doubt. But I requested it continuously because this is my brother. And my brother and I, ever since we were kids, we were very, very close. You know, we were really close. We did everything together because he was a grade after me, so I was a grade younger than him. And I said to her, let's just get everybody together. She refused to. She just wouldn't.
I wanted to add a few things.
Okay, just before you do, somebody in the chat room is asking exactly what was it? Was it anger management therapy? What kind of a treatment center was this? Can you tell us the name of the treatment center again?
The name of the treatment center was Spring Mountain Treatment Center in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And do you know who the manager of that organization or whatever it is, you know, do you know who the main person there, you know who it is?
Do not.
And what kind of treatment is it that they give? I mean, because if he's having mental issues and they...
I can answer that one. They do not do mental health. They do mental health outpatient treatment at the treatment center, but they don't when they are mentally ill,
okay,
they send them to the mental health facility here that's run by the state.
Was
so,
there life insurance on your brother?
She had life insurance on him, yes.
How much?
We don't know.
Can I just answer the chat room message that was sent about what kind of management? It wasn't anger management. Noni did not really get. He didn't have a bad temper. He didn't have an anger management problem. And let me tell you, this is Rita. I can drive anybody crazy, and he was very calm and patient with me. His thing was that she just always was never satisfied with him, so he was always. Always trying to better himself, and Noni was like he was the best dad in the world. He made all of our husbands look bad because he was such an amazing father to his children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it was is that I think what Margie was trying to say, I think the words should have been that he was very stressed out, which that could have been. He was stressed out. But, you know, I will tell you one thing. We all get stressed out. We all get panicked. My brother would never, ever, I swear to you, as God is my witness, walk away from us girls. He may have divorced his wife or wanted to leave his wife. Fine. He would never leave his kids, and he would never leave us girls. We have been sewn together by so much trials and tribulations that
exactly.
My brother knows. And he was the rock of this family. He's always been the one that found strength wherever he found it, and he was so happy. My brother was always very happy, happy smile, happy-go-lucky. I don't think he had an enemy here in Vegas. In fact, he's got tons of friends because I know. I mean, everybody came out of the woods when they found out he was missing and contacted me.
We have a caller. Let's take this. It looks like it's a Skype phone. Hello, you're on the air with Cubanorama.
Yes. Hi.
Yes,
hi.
What is
your
name?
I really prefer not to give my name out. I do
okay.
know the family really well because
okay.
At the time, I've known Noni for about 13 years.
Can you please turn the volume down on your computer? We can hear, and it's really difficult to hear you and hear exactly what you're trying to say, so that
okay.
way we don't hear the background. Thank
okay.
you. So you're saying you know the family well.
Yes, I do. I've been in contact with Rita. I just want to say that our hearts and prayers have been, I've known Noni
mm-hmm.
through a relative, and my children and my husband, we were all close at one time, and I just want to say just the time that I've known him from the very beginning, like his sisters say, he's just so loving.
Mm-hmm.
We were very
mm-hmm.
close to him, and it just breaks my heart, you know, for him and his family. I'm sorry, because from day
yes,
one,
we understand. You understand.
From day one, I mean, my kids,
mm-hmm.
we all talk about him. I have pictures with him. He was just
mm-hmm.
so close, and this is, like, out of character. All I don't
mm-hmm.
know who his ex-wife is. I say ex-wife because... As a wife, if my husband was missing, there would be no way that I would not want to be in touch with his family or be there or, you know, 100% try and find
mm-hmm.
him. And it's just unbelievable. It's very sad, but I live out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter even stated that he came to her during two of her dreams.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, I've talked to Rita online through emails, and I just want to say that our family loves him very, very much. And when my daughter told me this, she's like, Mom, he came to me twice in my dreams. And
I am sure that his sisters have also received some messages from him. But sometimes when we're looking for the living, we refuse to see the reality of things. But now that I've got everybody, I need all the sisters, and inclusive Marta and myself and you, okay, and your mom, that love them so much and love him so much, to see him for what he is right now. Because he's trying for us to find the truth. But everybody, that's why I wanted everybody together. Because I want everybody to be on the same page and accept, no matter how painful the truth is, accept that he's no longer with us, but he's fine. And that he's going to help us solve this. Can we all be on the same page on this?
I agree, yes.
Okay.
I think my sisters and I have come to that conclusion a long time ago that, you know, that something happened and it was against his will. And
exactly.
I truly believe that he's passed on. I truly believe that he's gained his wings way before he passed on.
Absolutely.
My brother,
he was a very noble,
so
very noble person. Very noble. Yes.
Yes.
And what is really upsetting to me about this whole thing is that if somebody in a position as vice president of U.S. Trust of Bank of America, I would especially putting all those hours at the job and traveling and making that company, who's, you know, very rich, lots and lots of money, I would make sure that they know my husband is missing and to give me a little backing and maybe help me with a little reward money, because I understand there is no reward money. Sometimes when you have a reward, it motivates people.
Why don't we create a fund? There's a lot of people out there listening to this. We need to create a fund to establish a reward for anybody who, there's a lot of people know the truth. And we need those who know the truth to comply with their common decency of helping solve this crime, because this is a crime. This is a crime.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we need to solve
it. Can you ladies get together and get a go to a bank and do whatever you need to do and get an account going and get something started for next week?
Of course, because I think Maddie and her son have been working on that.
Okay.
If it's okay to be a credit union, we are.
Whatever works.
We have something established at a credit union.
Anybody who would like to help in this case, please call Cubana Rama, speak to Marta, and just get this going here. I have a good feeling that this is going to be solved. It might take us a little time, but I think that we have unraveled. Once you look at it for what it's worth, that is empowering, because now we have one single goal, which is to find out what happened and the person responsible being taken to court and found out. That's basically what this is about. Because everything else is already known. So now, with that in mind, the man that she's with, does anybody know what he does?
The rumor is that he works at one of the local hotels here in Las Vegas, at MGM Hotel.
What
position? And I guess apparently in the operations department,
which
it can mean... It could mean a couple of things. It could mean front desk, or it can also fall into engineering or custodial.
Oh, that kind. Okay.
I do have a name, but I won't say it in the air.
No. Don't. You know you're going to do with those names, right? You're
going to
send them to me.
Yes,
all right. The house that they lived in, is she in that house?
Yes. From our understanding is that when Noni went missing, she was away from the home for a minimum of 4 months, and she was afraid to go back to the home, which we thought was kind of interesting, because she spent that much time away with two children who need their toys and need everything else, because she was afraid to go to her home. But somewhere along the line, she ended up making it back to the home, And one of the things I started to talk about when we got off on a different track was with Noni, her saying that Noni removed the SIM card from the phone. When I finally was able to reach Noni, Noni told me that Johanna had given him a sleeping pill. He went
to
sleep. And when he woke up, the house was empty as far as there was no one home, and it was dark. So he woke up and started looking around, and her and the children were gone. So when he went out to the garage, she had left with the vehicle that he normally drives, because the vehicle that was located in Mount Charleston is not the vehicle that Noni normally drives. That white 4Runner was the vehicle that she drove on a daily basis. Noni drove the black Suburban that was equipped for the children and had OnStar. So now you're telling me he has no way of communicating because he doesn't have a cell phone because the SIM card's missing, but he also doesn't have the OnStar or the vehicle telephone to be able to communicate with anyone. And that's why he had to drive over to Las Vegas Metro, report her and the children missing because he didn't know where they were, drive over to Marty's job looking for Marty to see, so he could ask me for advice on what to do.
Okay, the
so
three sisters, all three of you, all three of you, I need the three of you, because that information that you just gave Rita, this is Rita, right?
No, this is
Rita, yes, I'm Rita.
Okay, I need all three of you to write down bullet points, okay? That way you, okay, I need you to do bullet points, this, and then out of every one of them, go back in and write a page of everything, become a detective, because that's going to be vital. Because that, what you just said right now about the phone, about the SIM card, about the sleeping pill, because this is how it was done. He was drugged.
Yes.
That's why.
And we have another caller.
Hello?
Hello, yes, you're
Hi.
On the air. What is your name and do you what do you want to add to the conversation?
My name is Sonia Flores Herrera, and I'm known as ex-wife.
Hi, Sonia.
Okay.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
Sonia. Okay,
Hi, Sonia.
So this is Sonia. So you are the ex-wife of Noni. Was Noni a violent man? Did he ever beat you? Did he ever cuss at you? I'm sorry to be so blunt, but we have very little time left, and I just want to state that for the record. Was he ever abusive to you?
Never, never. Noni was my best friend. Noni never was violent with me. He had his moments, you know, like every couple we have our fights. But he never raised his hand at me. I can tell you how good of friends we were. When Noni found out he was going to have his children, I was the first person that he called. So,
okay,
all the things that you hear are true. Noni was an angel. He was a true angel. He was a good-hearted person. He would give you the shirt off his back. He would give you the last dollar
you
in
know,
his pocket.
Nobody deserves to be killed. Nobody deserves to be beat up and have their arms broken. Nobody deserves to be put on drugs and be committed to a hospital and then they disappear. Nobody deserves that. I don't care how bad a person is. If somebody's not doing the right thing and you are not a happy woman, then get out of the relationship. If you are a man and you want to hurt your wife, get out of the relationship. Leave people alone. I don't understand why people don't get divorced. I mean, just like you did. I mean, you got a divorce and you continue to be friends. I don't understand why Johanna could not have done the same thing.
Right.
Well,
right.
I do understand. There's a lot at stake, and it's called money. So
thank
I
you.
Just want to say that you have now, you ladies have a support system. And Sonia, I am so sorry. I understand that you've lost your best friend. There's sometimes people, that's how wonderful this guy was. If you can get a divorce from someone and still remain good friends, just know that you are not meant to be together forever, but that you can still talk and communicate. So
exactly.
It sounds like if he was able to do that, what is going on with Ms. Johanna Blake here? I think that we know what we need to do as we proceed going forth from today.
Fine,
we have all the friends and numbers because all the women that Noni loves are on the phone right now and friends come in numbers.
I would like to add, if we are going to have another show, I want to invite, this is Rita, I want to invite Johanna to call in, Noni's wife. I would love to talk to her. She's been avoiding me for well over a year, and I would love to chat with her. We need to sit down, and we need to discuss this instead of her being in hiding and the ridiculous rumors she's spreading of being afraid of us.
She's not hiding. She's not hiding. She's probably listening to every word we're saying.
I'm certainly not into making accusations on the right. If she was to call, I would just want to know some of the answers. We have questions. This is not about badgering somebody. We want to know why she had him committed. If she has the answers to these things and she can straighten some of these things out, then she needs to come forward. She needs to start answering some of the questions about what was Noni doing? What was Noni doing to her? Everybody has their own story. We have like 2 minutes left. Let's wrap it up, Rena. What do you want to say
really
to
quick?
The ladies?
I just want to say, if anybody's listening that might have been at the Mount Charleston area right around May 14, 2010, and you saw someone that looked like Noni and was possibly looked like a hiker but had a broken arm, had a blue cast in his arm, please contact this show.
Email me, marta@cubanarama.com. And with that, I have to say, I have never been so pleased in my life to have a family come together after such a devastation, missing a loved one. And here we are.
I just want to add that my sisters and I, we've gone through a lot. This is Rita, youngest.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through a lot together. And we've gone up and down. But my sisters are the strongest women that I know, and I am just in awesome times. And I stand all amazed at the strength that came from my family. You know, from us, my parents died when I was, my mom died when I was 14 and a half, and then my dad died when I was 15 and a half. Madi stepped up to the plate. Madi took me in. She was barely, 19, Madi? And she had two kids. She was married. She took me in. And there's times when I was younger, Margie took care of me, and it's just like we take turns. When one of us is having a weak moment, the other one steps up. But we just wanted to add, though, one thing. We missed the twins so much. I miss the twins. I have not seen my twin nephews in a good 15 months. A week before Noni went missing is the last time that I saw my nephews.
I do want to say, when this is Madi talking, wanted to say, Nina and Marta, earlier on, you both said that we were angels. I think the angels here are you two, because
you two are the angels
with the wings that have made the contact with us and are going to give us the strength and get us connected with the people that we need to be able to help us so we can let Noni rest.
This is Rita again. I just wanted to put out there,
Rita,
when Noni went missing, me and my sons and my husband went down to every shelter, every homeless center, every ditch where the homeless were, everywhere. We looked everywhere. And I continued that for close to 6-7 months until my sisters begged me to stop. And I want you to know that we searched high and low, in between, everywhere. But there's only 3 of us. Please, we are pleading with you. You know, it's one thing to lose a family member to death, because you know when they die, you know where their grave is, and you have a place of serenity in your heart. Whether you're spiritual or not, you have a place of serenity in your heart to know that they passed on. But it's another thing when you lose somebody and not know where they're at, where they're nowhere to be found, where you can't ask questions. It's just like they're erased from that environment, but they're never erased from your heart and mind. And no one else, people move on, they forget, they just move on with their lives. But when it affects your family and you have a loved one that died, just think. Just think, okay, that loved one didn't die. Just think one day they left or you left and you never saw them again. That connection that you have as brothers and sisters is always there. And God is my witness, and as the Savior, Jesus Christ, as my brother, they know me and my sisters will never, ever give up our fight and our search for him. Noni cannot be erased in our hearts and minds, and we will be that little Achilles heel on whoever's foot that took them. And I bury you my testimony. I will not give up.
And with that, ladies, did you have anything else you wanted to say in parting?
This is Mari. I just want to say, you know, for all the missing families out there, one of the things that I posted was, waiting is painful, forgetting is painful, but not knowing what to do is the worst kind of suffering there is.
We will find out what to do, and we are going to do it together. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.